the human being, insan, when the human being's body is upset, when the human being's body is upset or he is occupied in some issue, for example, normally a person is hungry. If he's hungry, he has food. But sometimes there's food in front of a person, he doesn't eat that food. If you ask him, why you're not eating, he says, I don't feel like eating. There are lots of different drinks in front of a person, and if he is asked, why don't you drink? He says, I don't feel like drinking. So this is an unusual response. It's away from the habit, normal habit, that if there's something which is according to the nature a person eats, and it's normally a person, if he is not going to eat or drink, then he'll turn to some medical advice, for example. And then the individual go to a medical specialist, I don't feel like sleeping, I don't feel like eating, I don't feel like drinking, I don't feel thirsty. In other words, unnatural circumstances a person's going through. So firstly, on the first stage, when a person complains of that, you'll regularly see that there's something lacking in the body of that person. That's the diagnosis. And so let's fulfill that deficiency, what we call vitamins. Like nowadays, vitamin D is prevalent. There is a lack of vitamin D. So if this is up and that's meant, people say, oh yeah, vitamin D is lacking in this person. Give him vitamin. So vitamin is such that when there's something lacking in the body then stops functioning fully. And then if, for example, he's not feeling hungry and he knows that food is a good thing and he should eat, he knows that there are delicious foods and nice foods and he should eat them, but he doesn't eat. He doesn't feel like eating or he's unwell. He says, my mind, I don't feel like eating. So these are feelings that people have. And then when he finds out and they diagnose, they realize that he's lacking some sort of vitamin due to which he doesn't want to eat. And as soon as that he's prescribed those vitamins, and then he gets hunger again, and then he starts to eat more than even before. He eats and he drinks, because that deficiency is being fulfilled, made up. In the same way, our spiritual life has also the same, you can say, situation. I'll just give you an example to explain that. The spiritual realm with us has the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Qur'an, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, such good information and warnings, and there are surahs and chapters in the Qur'an. What does the information tell us? Tells us the events about paradise. Read Surah Waqia, how beautiful it is, the rewards Allah has prescribed, explained in Surah Waqia. So you will see in every chapter of the Qur'an where Allah Ta'ala mentions such beautiful features of Ramadan. And there are rewards of Jannah, Allah Ta'ala mentions to this extent, where Allah says you cannot even think, you cannot imagine what will be there in paradise. There's no example that can explain to you. Those people of Iman, belief, faith and certainty, That's the difference between those who have faith and those who don't. That he realizes he is enjoying what Allah has gotten. And those who don't have iman, they joke. How can this be their paradise? How? Impossible. No, it's a dream, they say. So this depends on a person's iman. Because iman is to believe or to accept. So a person who's got iman, then he enjoys when he has, mashallah, these are the rewards Allah is going to give to us in paradise. This is the Quran, isn't it? But when to attain those things, Allah Ta'ala has given us some actions to do, to attain. For example, it said that this is a very good store, good turnover, good sale, this store. Yeah, a person will be happy. Oh, this is a very good shop. They say, we'll give it to you. They'll be happy. But to run that store, it said, you have to wake up in the morning, you have to go there, open the shop, then the shop will run and you'll get the money, you'll get the turnover. You say, oh no, that's too hard. Go there in the morning, run the shop, stand there, attend the customers. You'll get it. You'll get it. So Allah Ta'ala said the same things like that in the Quran. Same. That Jannah just won't go there, like you put your hand out and you'll get Jannah. Allah's mentioned the stories about Jannah. Allah says you will get Jannah for these reasons that you do these actions. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah says you will get this reward when you do this specific action. This hoor you will attain when you do this amal, this action. And that's the fact. If you do this, then you will be given this. So Allah Ta'ala explains and details out the beauty of Jannah. So the first example, we should remind us also that what I'm saying in sequence, you understand. Yes, for example, you say to somebody, these are very good dishes, this roast here. And he'll say, no, I don't feel like it. I'm lacking the vitamins or the strength. I don't feel like eating. What shall I do? Yes, he says, everyone else is eating. It's roast, very delicious. And there's biryani here. You should eat this as well. And there's khichdi, dal, and everyone's eating, but he doesn't eat. Says, I don't feel like it. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala says, look, here's Jannah, paradise. Do this action, this amal. Do this amal action, Allah says. Do this action. What do we say in response? The spiritual sick person who has a lack of vitamin spiritually, he'll say, oh, yaar, I don't feel like it. Do dua for me, please. Do dua for me. You tell him so much. I said, great amal, Quran, hadith, are telling us. And he says, I don't know. I try my best. I want to. He knows that person. He hears as well. Just like the food is in front of him, he can't eat the food. So what do we say? That there's something deficient. He's not eating. Give him the vitamins, he'll start eating. Same way spiritually, that he is then lacking some vitamin spiritually that he doesn't want to do amal. Just like when you do analysis and diagnose and the body physicians, in the same way the awliyaullah, the friends of Allah, they've researched that he's lazy, he's negligent, he's not practicing, he has iman, he has awareness and he knows. And there's such a big announcement Allah's giving. Such a big announcement the Holy Prophet ﷺ gave, the companion said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, what's the biggest deed of all? Biggest deed of all. What does it mean? That what's the best Jannah, in other words, he's asking, what's the best reward in Jannah will be given for which action? This is a big question or not, tell me. Yes, do we have iman on what he asked and the answer? Or all of us, if we don't do this action, what will happen? Then our vitamins are down. We're lacking the vitamins, the proteins. Then we are sick. We are unwell. Such a great fact that the Sahabi said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this Sahabi, look at the difference between us and look at the companions. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the greatest deed? So he's asking this question not for disputes, hazir, nazir, ishqi rasul, and playing games and questioning people's mind. They were darvish, torn clothes, they had simple lives, but they were asking the right question. How do we get Jannah, Ya Rasulullah? But we want big gatherings and debates, and I'm the best, and I'm better, and I'm a lover of Rasulullah, and he's no good. And then, when that stops, nobody's an ashik. When the gathering finishes, nobody left. This is a drama. But the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, they knew that if we ask about Jannah, we learn then we'll get Jannah. He said, what's the greatest deed, O Prophet of Allah? Shall I tell you this hadith? Will we practice this, brothers? Or is it just about listening? So who is saying this? The Holy Prophet ﷺ is explaining, and the companions are enjoying listening to this. That our lives are being made, we are learning that amal which is the best of deeds. And they're not upset, oh, it's too hard for us, oh, it's too difficult. Like today we ask that, please can you tell me something to recite? But don't give me too much to read, we say. Yes? So what does this mean? Don't give me too much to read. That, for example, that we don't have enough time, then give me something short and simple that I can recite, we say. So even before we learn, we put conditions down. That's the reason that there's something lacking inside us. So what's the best of these? Oh, Rasulullah was asked, and the Prophet gave the answer, and the question was there, and the answer came. The Prophet said, Salah, Namaz. Then he said, what's then the best of these? The Prophet said, Salah, Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Then he asked the same question again. And the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, what's the biggest of deeds? And the Prophet replied, Salah. Third time. Tell me, how much important is there for Salah? Namaz. Prayer. The greatest deeds. This is such a great deed. Prayer on the day of judgment, the day of Qiyamah. Whoever Salah is complete, then all his deeds will be complete. Look at the importance of Salah, Namaz, prayer. Can we leave it? Oh, biryani, korma, if my stomach's healthy, will I leave those dishes? I'll eat everything that's in front of me. Isn't it? You know, in the invitations, in the feast, for example, you say, bring it here, bring me the roast, bring me the legs, bring me the meat pieces. People are fighting over the pieces of meat, over the chapati, that I want this food, bring it to me. Why? Why? Because they know it's tasty and it's delicious and they want to acquire that. But the person who's lacking the vitamins, the strength or the power, you say, no, I can't eat. I can't eat, you'll say. Don't give it to me. So how great a deed, whoever's salah is complete, then is all of his deeds are complete and intact. Intact. Take one salah. What a great guarantee that Allah Ta'ala is giving. There's such a barakah in salah. In prayer, there must be a barakah that Allah has instilled in salah, that all of our deeds will be intact and complete. With salah. There's another hadith I'm just remembering now. That, mashallah, you listen to hadith and you're aware of this knowledge. Everybody knows about salah and prayer. So every single day, there's no such day that passes, the hadith I am sharing with you, many of you, that no day passes in which from Allah that the angels, special select angels descend, they come down, and then they take the report towards Allah. Me, you, every single human being, women folk and the men folk, females and males, from the heavens, the angel comes, he observes, he makes the report that we have iman and we believe in this, and this is iman, to believe what I'm explaining now. This is iman, what else is iman? If we don't believe in these facts, if we believe in what we're discussing now, yes, we have yaqeen and certainty that the angels descend. They come, they observe. There are two times that are apportioned. Two. One is the Fajr time and one is Asr time. That's the two change of shifts of the angels. Tell me that great blessed times. How valuable is that time, those two times a day when the angels descend? And what is their task, the duty of them, that go to earth and roam around the earth and observe. Observe. Allah says, what are my servants doing? Say subhanAllah. Allah sends them on a mission. And Allah says, bring the report back to me, to the angels. Yes, that morning and evening, two times a day. Some in the morning, some in the evening. No morning, no evening can pass until Qiyamah, until the angels come in that time. So do we believe in this fact or not? Tell me. Then should we be careful about this fact or not? Tell me. Should we be careful? Yes, we are lacking in the understanding and the belief in these facts. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? Yes, so the angels, they come, they observe, they go and give report every morning, every evening, every angel. The angel says, Allah, in the morning he was watching a film, Allah, he was sitting at home, he was doing this, and he was doing this, and he was doing this, he was enjoying himself in the world. Soon as they go back, they give this report to Allah. Fajr time and Asr, evening time. And the angels, when they go and they say to Allah, and they present the report, the Allah, I testify, I bear witness, the angel says this, listen to the words. The angels say, Allah, we bear witness on this individual, that we bear witness that he has iman. We have total yaqeen, Allah, that this is a mu'min, a believer, because we saw him do actions that announce and testify and confirm. He was occupied. Fajr time he was busy, Asr time he was busy in the action. And Allah says, what is the action, O angels, that he was doing? And Allah will ask, that I like so much. The afzal, they'll say, Allah, when we went Fajr, he was occupied in Salah. Asr time, he was occupied in Salah. SubhanAllah. Allah immediately announces in response about that individual, that he is successful. SubhanAllah. Is this not the case? SubhanAllah. Shall I tell you another hadith about Salah? It stated that Salah, namaz, a beautiful house, for example, you built. Nice house, decorated, and you go to the house today, you come and you stop at the door. You say, oh, as soon as you look inside the house, you say, oh, I've forgotten the key back where I came from, say SubhanAllah. So that's such a big house, decorated, beautiful, but you can't go in. Why? Because you don't have, what is it? You don't have the key. Yes, one key does not let you go into the house. One key. What does Allah Ta'ala announce? The whole of Jannah, paradise, the key to Jannah is what? Salah, namaz. Salah. That you cannot enter into paradise. Doesn't matter if you've done good actions, big palaces in paradise waiting for you, rewards, but you, to open up your door to paradise, what key do you need? Which key do we need? Say it to me. Say it. Salah. So do you feel sad when your children don't pray Salah? When your daughter doesn't pray Salah? When your son doesn't pray Salah? You don't read Salah yourself. And it's time for Salah and you're watching scenes and television and wrestling, etc., etc., etc. Cricket matches, tennis matches. This is the amal. So what will be said to that person? He's got iman. Tell me. And salah is such a great, fantastic action. To think about the times when salah has to be prayed. That. And what is our situation at that time, during salah? And namaz, if we don't pray salah, just like it said, that salah has to be prayed in jamaat, congregation. That's the instruction. Go to the masjid. Why are the masjids constructed? Tell me. Is this for fighting, quarreling the masjids were made? Or for other tasks were the masjids constructed? Masjid is made only for one action. And what is action? Dhikrullah. Afdal dhikrullah is in the form of salah. Subhanallah. Afdal, greatest form and image and scene of dhikr is what? Salah. Salah. Just for that namaz, salah, in the whole world there's a clamor of what? Masjid, masjid, where's the masjid, where's the masjid? Make a masjid, make a masjid. Yes, that in the whole world there's a decoration. Why? Because there's one amal, one action that's presented, that's carried out. Is there any building made for fasting? Any building made for zakat? No. No building or asset. But the building of the masjid is made for which action? Salah. Namaz. If today there was no salah, would we be sat in the masjid? Would Zakariya masjid, would it be here? Would there be lights on it? Would you be sitting here? So how many masjid, alhamdulillah, 25, 30, 50 in Bolton itself, this, etc., etc., etc. You go there for dhikr, you go there for other reasons. The reason is basic principle is salah. Salah. And how beloved will this action be to Allah? And it's stated in that home where salah, a person who prays salah at home, he says, I'm praying salah at home. He's got a car, health, body, physically active, food. Allah's given him rizq and wealth, everything, his wife and children and family, food, drink. Salah time? He's there. Down. Down. Zero. He doesn't even know that it's masjid. What's the salah time in the masjid? We don't even know what is the salah time in the masjid. And if the house is near the masjid, then they run away. Oh, quickly go the other way, opposite way. Opposite way. The people who love salah, they seek the house which is near the masjid, nearest to the masjid. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Big people, wealthy people, they sacrifice their standard for this. There's five squirrels. No. There are good houses, big houses. Why are you buying a house here? This is inner city, old houses, terrace. He says there's everything. Doesn't matter how old it is, but Allah's house is near to my house. I cannot leave this. So he's got money. He can buy a bigger house further away. Quality, why? Because inside him, he has the vitamins, the strength. Say subhanallah. That same point I said in the beginning. Pay attention to that point. The rejection, turning away from the masjid. What's the punishment Rasulullah said? That individual. Adhan is called. It's time for salah. And he sat at home and he's not praying. Rahmatul lil alamin, mercy to the universe, says, I feel, the Prophet ﷺ said, I feel that I collect the people, we go collect the firewood, and we go and burn that house down. Yes, this is the unhappiness of the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ is so unhappy with that person. He said, I feel that place, the house where the salah is not prayed, the house is destroyed. Why do these sicknesses come? Problems. We're distressed. We got issues. First, ask yourself in the home. First question when you have a problem. What is the state of my salah? Then the story will end. In the house, if there's salah, every single item in your house will have barakah if your salah is intact. Every single item of your life will have barakah and blessings if your salah is correct. He says, no, I pray, she doesn't pray, and I tell them, my wife doesn't pray, and he doesn't pray. Then there's wretchedness in the house. There's curse in the house. Those people who reject salah, don't pray salah. Due to that individual, there's wretchedness in the house. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me, my friends. Tell me, such a great action is salah, we cannot imagine. So look at the punishment. Such a big punishment, that person's not going to pray salah. Straightforward question, that when a human being has a problem, distress, issue, first and foremost, he should ask himself, that what is the state of affairs of my salah? What's the condition of my salah? There are many levels. The alim,
then his salah should be according to his ilm. Shouldn't pray like me. His hisab accounting, Allah will say, you had ilm, knowledge. What was the praise of me, Allah says, in your salah? What was your style, your manner? What were the points that you recited? Those points you learned, alhamdulillah, you're an alim, scholar, understanding your ilm, your knowledge. Your salah then should be elevated up and you'll be accounted on that rank. His hisab won't be just like mine. A normal layman who's a non-alim. Because the alim, he has ilm, knowledge. Allah gave him knowledge for this reason. I gave you knowledge, Allah says, so you become alim. So that your practice should be high grade. That's why you're an alim. Yes? Say, subhanallah is too low the volume. Say loudly, subhanallah. Subhanallah, you have ilm, then your salah should be according to your ilm. Your sajda should be according to your ilm. Your nafl should be according to ilm. Person shouldn't be running after praying half salah. No, this is not necessary, this nafl. We look at other people. Oh, he's gone, he's scarpered, run off. Let's all run off as well. Let's not pray the rest of the salah. No, he should pray more actions, more lengthy amal, so that those people who are learned, because we have to copy him. He's an alim, scholar. He's learned the knowledge, and we are to learn from him. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So everyone, poor soul, doesn't have that knowledge of masjid, Jummah time, after Jummah. The 400 people are sat here. 400 normal people are sitting. And who's there to teach? Wahid, one person who Allah Ta'ala gave him the honor, the status that he sat on the minbar of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His blessed seat. The angel saying salam to the individual. He is valued for this reason, that this individual, alhamdulillah, he is a sample of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the ummah. Not to sample himself, not to present himself, praise himself and glorify himself, whatever his heart feels and do what he wants. No. He is an example. Through his example and actions, he is to demonstrate to the dunya, the alim, the individual, that this was the style and manner of Allah's Habib, just like I am doing, says the alim. Say subhanallah. That's the demonstration. Example. But this is not happening. You will see regularly, that Mulana Sahab said this, so we're doing this. He said that, he does like that, so we're gonna do that. So we get their reference. So this is such a big point, that any amal, a person, that he will be asked on the level according to the understanding that he's got. Say subhanallah. Today, the things that we are learning, this is your ilm that's increasing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you due to this. So, you, for example, Allah says, I love you, so you are on this level and rank. Allah says, I'm elevating your rank status, so you have to practice on that increased level, on a better level. Subhanallah. So you become an alim. Yes, today you will become the alim of salah through learning this knowledge, such a great amal. The four hadith we've just studied, these are great hadith that we've just discussed. Great hadith. Today if we practice on these, then today by practicing thawab, not just thawab, Allah says that if you do amal on these hadith that we've discussed, you become such a great man that on the day of judgment when you come to me, Allah says, that not every action of yours will be accepted because your salah was on the right level. Yes, so we've heard this now. So everybody will be stood and he will have the key to paradise and he'll put the key in the door and he'll go into paradise first. So who is this? And Allah will say, he heard the hadith, he practiced, he corrected his salah. So today, Allah Ta'ala seated you here, and what Allah Ta'ala making us listen to, what I'm speaking and discussing with you, yes, with Allah's hukam I'm speaking and I'm explaining to you. So what this means is that me and you, both of us, Allah Ta'ala has given us the warning that today I have made you an alim, a scholar of this subject. Of this subject. And I'll raise you on the level of the ilm. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So, now. Further, I'll give you the example of one salah. Allah Ta'ala says there are other actions on every amal, there's a reward. Look at the rewards Allah Ta'ala has given for the action. So now why don't we accept? Why are we lazy in practice? Why? I'm lazy, I don't feel like it, I can't do this action, I don't want to do this action, I can't pray salah in jamaat. What's the reason? Because that person, just like they put the food in front of everyone's eating, he doesn't eat and the doctor will say he's lacking some vitamins. So when this is the situation inside us, that we are lazy with salah, we're lazy, negligent, doing those amal that will take us to Jannah and will deliver us into paradise, then most definitely inside us there's something lacking. Say subhanallah. Same example. Simple example. So that vitamin, if we pick it and diagnose it inside us, and that vitamin and strength comes inside us, then that laziness will end and we'll run towards the amal, the actions.
So what is it they're lacking? Shall I tell you what we are lacking today? Yes, because this is the real question, isn't it? What are we lacking? What I'm saying, first I explain the sickness, I explain the problem, then I also mention the cure. Yeah? There's no point telling us that we're all sick. And then you can't say tomorrow that I didn't know the cure. So first I explained that we're lacking something. When you're lacking something in your body, and then you are, that's when you leave the amal, the actions. But Allah says there's no sickness that there's not a cure for. So all of us, let's analyze now that how far away we here with this action, we'll get Jannah and we leave that action. We know that I pray nafil, that this is the reward that I will get, but we leave that nafil. Yes, that if we pray the sunnah, we'll get these rewards. If I pray nafil, I'll get these rewards. If I practice the sunnah, I'll get these rewards. If I wear the imamah, I'll get these rewards. Why do we reject these deeds? The reason is that inside us, say it. We are lacking something. There's a sickness inside us. There's a disease that's penetrated us inside. And that disease has made us mad. Yes, tomorrow we are to die. Then when we die, Allah will say, why didn't you not cure yourself? Shall I tell you the cure? What is it we're lacking inside? Shall I tell you what it is? Shall I explain? Will we practice on that and that solution? Inshallah, our life will transform. Yes, this is the gathering of the fakirs, the simple servants of Allah. And this is the night of Jummah, mashallah. Thursday night, the night of Jummah. Yes, so today, that's the night when the fakir, the humble servants of Allah asked, there was a fakir who used to come to our village, and in the night he used to call out, it's night of Jummah, give me something, it's night of Jummah, give me something. So I remember today, the friends of Allah, they ask Allah, it's the night of Jummah, Allah fill our treasure chest, Allah, of Akhirah. The night of Jummah. So we are fakirs, we are the beggars of Jummah. And we sit here on the night of Jummah, but Allah values this, us sitting here, and such fakirs, we should value them, that Allah says, He's come to ask from me on the night of Jummah. So the biggest point is, that Allah Ta'ala has told us such great deeds, we don't practice them. The reason for this is because inside there's something lacking. So, but we don't diagnose, or nor do we ask anyone. So one small statement, we say, I don't know, I just don't feel like practicing. Do dua for me, I'm lazy, what can I do? Salah. And we tell the children, this has happened and that's happened. So what's it we are lacking? If they diagnose and we research, the Awli Allah, the pious predecessors researched and they told us, they announced what is it that's lacking inside us. That is, fikri akhirah, the concern for the hereafter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Concern for the hereafter is not inside us. That human being who has this inside him, that he realizes everything, and then he still doesn't pray salah to Allah, then what is he lacking? He's lacking the worry for the hereafter. You don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, so do you understand worry for the dunya? Worry for the dunya is this. That for example, even if a storm comes, you'll go to work or have to go to work. Otherwise, the customer, he won't come. You are definitely going to open your shop. You're definitely going to drive your taxi. Doesn't matter what the weather is. Money you are going to earn, definitely. What's this called? Concern and worry for the dunya. Fikr-e dunya. So the person who's fikr-e akhira, then he's definitely going to pray salah. Definitely going to pray salah. He's definitely going to prostrate because he's got fikr. The salah is such a great action. How can I leave salah? The person who has fikr dunya, he says, today, how can I leave my customers? Today's Christmas, the month of Christmas, December. And even if the biggest guest comes, he says, you stay here, guest at home. I'm busy today. I need to go open my shop. I'll see you later. Yes? And if that day, a big guest comes, he feels down. Oh, where's this guest come from? I had to go and drive my taxi and 2 days, 3 days for me to earn, and he's come and sat at my house. You won't like any guest to come to your house. You won't even attend his phone call because you got fikr-e dunya. Same way the person who has fikr-e akhira, he doesn't sleep. I have to pray fajr, he says. He doesn't sleep. Today let's have a chit chat, watch TV, have a gossip. You say, no, I've got to wake up in the morning because he's got fikr-e akhira. Concern for the hereafter. So this is the reason, person who has a fikr-e akhira is devoid in that person, then he is so weak on this action. Say subhanAllah. When you understand what I say, then praise Allah definitely, when you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? So don't just sit there and give up, that if I don't pray salat fajr in the masjid, and the order is burn his house down, that means inside me the fikr for the hereafter has gone. The fikr for the hereafter has gone. It's finished. I have no passion. because I don't have fikr for thereafter. I do ask Allah for the akhirah, but I don't care about it. If I cared about it, then the worry for the dunya, I run after the dunya. Yaar, I want to buy a new house. Your fikr and fikr, fikr-e-makan. Then you start saving up mal and wealth. You'll do anything. You're ready to do anything. Rather, you leave your country and go to the other country. Why? Because you've concern for the stomach. Concern for the stomach, where it takes a man, the concern for the stomach. Gujarat to Bolton people have come. Fikr-e-pet is called concern for the stomach. It's not the Kaaba that's here in Bolton. There's no Kaaba that people came, but they just came here, the poor souls, for work and effort and sweat. So concern for the hereafter, look where the fikr of the world takes us from here to there. In the same way, those who are fikr for the akhirah, subhanallah. Their life, where does it take them? The complete lifestyle based on fikr-e akhirah, just like the lifestyles of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. No companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll see. No companion of the Prophet, the highest level of fikr-e akhirah, that Sahabiyah, highest level. Yes, no example of the world you can equate to that, because never did they like anything of the dunya in comparison to the akhirah. Never. The companions, yes, one woman came. And an individual came and said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." No, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And he came. He came and said, "Make my decision." He was an Amir, and he came. So it was a rich person who came, a wealthy person. He asked for the decision to be made. And this example of fikr-e akhirah, the decision was made. What was the decision? That this person, he hit me on the face and he broke my teeth. And I want to take the revenge on him. Please give me the decision. Can I do the same? And he said, yes, this is the right. This is the hukum in the Quran. That the tooth, you can avenge with the tooth. He said, okay. The decision has been made. He said, the decision has been made for you. You can break his teeth as well. So if he's broken your tooth, you can break it as well. And another companion was sitting there. He said that your decision has been made, O young man. But I heard from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a hadith, subhanallah. And this is the life of a mu'min. He says that I don't feel like praying salah. So immediately you should say to yourself that I heard this hadith praying salah in the masjid. Why should I not wake up? Then your eye will immediately open at that time. Immediately at that time. So he said, I heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, that I will share that with you. The decision has been made for you. As Amir Muawiyah is sitting there, such a great companion, and he makes the decision, and another companion is there. The man was angry, and he wanted to take revenge that this person hit me and he broke my tooth. If somebody breaks your teeth, won't you be angry? Of course you'll be. So he came with that complaint to Amir Muawiyah. He said, make that decision. He said, it's your right. You can take the revenge if you want. And he was in such anger. And you can take that revenge. It's your haq. You can take that, that step. But that sahabi, the companion, he said, shall I tell you there's a hadith I will share with you, and it's your decision after that. It's up to you. He's here, Amir Sahab's here, he's made the decision, everyone's here. He said, yeah, what is the hadith you heard? He said, I heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that if you can take your right, fulfill the right, and it's jais for you to use your right, the sahabi could have done that, but he is patient and he leaves his right to take that revenge just for this reason, for the sake of Allah, that I leave my right to return that compliment or to return the action. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to that individual who forgives a person, then on the day of judgment Allah gives him the good news of maghfirah and jannah. He said, I've heard this hadith. Now it's your choice, it's your decision. Soon as that companion heard this hadith, now look at the iman of that companion. Fikr-e akhirah, concern for the hereafter. He said, this is a right hadith, you heard this? He said, I testify, I bear witness, I heard this hadith. He said, if you bear witness, then I will leave my right to take revenge and I forgive that person. Subhanallah. Is there any argument that will be left in the world then, tell me? Can there be any dispute after that? Yes, there was a quarrel in a family. Severe, and this is recent day, modern day, I'm telling you now. There was a husband and wife, there was a big argument, quarrel, that it went to the point of divorce and assets. He said, this is mine and this is for my family, they gave to me. And the husband and wife, they went to a wali Allah to get the decision. And he made the decision. He said, according to Sharia, he told them, this is the decision, that this is the woman's right. What she's saying is correct. And the decision was in the favor of the woman. And the woman was very happy with that decision. Obviously, the husband, may, you know, for example, he was probably not happy, and he said, this was the decision I've told you. This is the asset belongs to this woman. Then he said that according to the hadith, but he said, I will tell you one hadith. Subhanallah. It's not like this that everyone's blind. Even today, there's fikr-e-akhirah present within the people in society today. So if you sit with the wali Allah and see the concern and what fikr comes, the concern for the dunya will end and the concern for the akhirah will come. This is the difference in sitting with the wali Allah. One fikr ends, another fikr starts for the hereafter. So does it come or not? Tell me. Yes, it comes. Concern for the hereafter. You start to learn how to sacrifice things and give things up. So he said, let me share a hadith with you, said that shaykh, then the rest is up to you. So imagine, there wasn't some olden time, this was today in this day and age, and it wasn't some big alim woman, alima. She was a normal woman of the dunya, but look at the figure of the akhirah inside her, and her husband was sat there. And she said, yes, Hazrat, what is it? He said, this is the hadith that the quarrel at the time of the Prophet, there was a dispute, and Rasulullah gave this decision, and he presented the hadith that I am responsible, these are the words of Rasulullah, that I am responsible for that person, that within Jannah, paradise, I will construct his home. Within paradise. Imagine the words. He said, I'm responsible. I take responsibility and guarantee for that individual. Guarantee that within the midst of paradise, not in the outskirts, in the center point of Jannah. The center of Jannah. Just like you say, I want to buy a house. And you say, totally, I'll give you a house in Piccadilly. In town center, which is the top level area. Isn't it? Andruni, inner city, which is most expensive. What's that sector within the city? The inner city. So Allah's Nabi said that in the center, the town center, the center of paradise. Imagine the beauty of the center of paradise. So let's look at our fikr akhirah now for a few moments. Let's analyze and ask ourselves. So Rasulullah said that, Allah's Rasulullah said that I guarantee, I'm responsible that in the midst of paradise, I will give you a house, a home. And about this is the hadith. That individual who has a right, he has a right, but to save himself from the argument, he releases his right and gives it up. Subhanallah, both are sat there. The woman, immediately she put her hand up. She said, Hazrat, if this is a hadith, then I relinquish my right, she said. I relinquish my right. And she gave it up due to fikr-e-akhirah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now this, what is fikr-e-akhirah? Concern for the hereafter. This should be developed within the human being, that he has sadness and concern for the world. This deed, this action, this amal will give me this. Oh, let me pray another two nafil. I'll get this. What difference does it make? I'll stay a bit more in the masjid. So all the rubuds that are prescribed, that Rasulullah has told us, and the good glad tidings, for this reason, so that we can develop within us the fikr-e-akhirah, so we can attain those rubuds through those amal. Otherwise, what need was there for Rasulullah to tell us these things? Why did Allah tell us in the Quran? Why was Surah Rahman telling us these verses? For this reason, that these are facts. Allah says, if you do these actions, you'll get these rewards. If you can't do it, then Allah says, your fikr is less and the fikr of the world is higher. You need to flip the situation, Allah says. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, let's analyze ourselves. How much we have failed in this. How weak we are. We go more on, oh, leave this. This is not necessary. Not necessary. No, we should go opposite. More we should say, do this. Hadith says this tawab. Alhamdulillah, I'll do this action. Learn to sacrifice for the sake of paradise. Learn to sacrifice for the sake of the akhirah. Two examples. One is the time of the sahaba. And one example of a woman in this day and age. Yes, she relinquished her right for the hereafter. So this figure of the hereafter, brothers, how do we develop the concern? What's the cure? Cure, because I'm explaining in sequence. So you'll ask, how can I develop the concern for the hereafter? So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us the solution. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has told us the solution. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah's dhikr, remembrance, is such an action, subhanallah, praise be to Allah, which will, is said, it is the greatest of deeds. From all of the deeds, it's the greatest deed. Why? Because through the dhikr of Allah, the human being develops and generates concern for the hereafter inside him. The walis of Allah, they do dhikr. That's why you, from their sohbat, their company, you get these learnings. Allah's wali, you cannot be a friend of Allah, you cannot be a wali Allah if he does not do dhikrullah. Yes, the more an individual does dhikr kathir in quantity, regular, steadfast, then he gets to the qurbal wala, the nearness to Allah, the friend of Allah. Remember, these are the formulas that the Quran has prescribed. So the person who becomes a friend of Allah, then his fikr of the akhirah increases and increases, gets stronger. Have you ever seen that I spent so many years in the company and sohbat of my shaykh, alhamdulillah, until today, I never saw Hazrat Sahib leave any nafal. Yes, I never saw him say, oh, I'm on a journey, oh, I don't need to pray this, I'll leave this nafal, I'll leave that nafal. Never did I see Hazrat. And he used, he could have given dalil, it's not necessary, we don't have to do it now, this sunnah is not necessary. We leave sunnahs just like this, like we have no connection with the sunnah. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala said the name, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّنُوا لَفَتَّابِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, such a great deed, has Allah Ta'ala given an example like this? No other deed will get this result. The reward, the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah was a reward, yuhbibkumullah. Allah says, you imitate and follow the sunnah of my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah says, I'll make you my beloveds. That's the condition. What a great reward for following the sunnah. And that we are ashamed of keeping the beard. We keep the beard, we'll keep the beard according to our own style and liking. No, Allah has given hukam. Keep the thing the way my Habib says. That's why I sent him to give you the physical demonstration. I sent my Nabi for this reason so you can imitate him. And we keep our beard this long or this long, this shoe. Someone's wearing this labas, that dress, those clothes. Allah says, but this is not my deen. This is not my deen. So if we can't do it, that means we don't have fikr akhirah. Then start doing dhikrullah. Start doing dhikrullah. Go to a friend of Allah, wali Allah. Yes, just like your stomach is upset, you can't eat food, where do we go then? We run to the doctor so that he can give us the solutions. If we're lacking this love for the sunnah and the Islam, then go to the wali Allah and get to the cure. Has it happened until today? Someone's got a stomach ache, he's not eating, no sleeping. You say, no, stay at home, don't worry. Every man, quickly, doctor's appointment, quickly, who's your GP? Who's your general practitioner? Have you got an appointment? Make an appointment. Who's your consultant, physician? And he doesn't want to go, but we force that person to go because he's physically unwell. Is this not the case? Yes, and if he doesn't go to the doctor, then he's mad. A mad person never says he's mad. He says, no, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. What I'm saying are the best. And he's the most crazy person, that person, who doesn't want to go to the doctor. A crazy person, a mad person will never accept that he's mad or crazy. He'll say, I'm the best. So this is the reason. The same with us, that we are sick and we don't consider ourselves to be sick. That we are practicing the deen according to our preferences. Yes, we say, no, I can pray at home, I don't have to go to the masjid. Where is this written? I can keep the beard the way I want. Where is this written? It's haram, I can do this. Oh, servants of Allah, this is not deen. Deen is what Allah has sent. And the example of that deen Allah Ta'ala made to who? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his physical being. So how can we practice our lives according to our liking? So this means that inside us, fikr-e-akhira is eliminated, gone. Yes, so we need to improve that. Otherwise we are all of us are devoid and we are not going towards the akhirah, the paradise. Rather, astaghfirullah, is jahannam, hellfire. That deen, in turn for the right deen, Allah will give jannah and paradise. Allah says, I'll give you the rules based on the deen I give you to you if you practice that. And you say, it's too hard to do it, I'm upset, or it's too difficult for me, how can I do it? Then Allah says, that's the test. وَلَلَبْدُوَنَّكُمْ Allah says, that's the challenge and the test I've given you in the dunya. That's what Allah says in the Quran, that I will test you, I'll give you obstructions, I'll give you hurdles. Allah says, I made a condition. Not that you can do what you want in life. That Allah, deen is just what you want to do and what your heart feels. And if it's hard, and leave it. If it's difficult, leave it. No. Allah says, I'll send you to the world. And where I want to send you, America, Canada, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia. Allah says, it's my choice where you live. But you have to practice according to my choice, Allah says. Allah says, all these challenges will come. Different tests will come in front of you in life. And all of the tests that you pass, the more I'll give you higher station in paradise. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. That's life. That's the definition of life. It's not our choice what we do in life. Who can say that in Saudi Arabia we practice? In Madinatul Manawra we practice? We also pray salah. And how can I pray here now when I come back? That they pray correctly. This cannot be that we leave the deen according to the physical geography where we are. Whatever difficulty Allah says you have in life,
all the generations in the world. The most difficulty at that time was what? Jama'ah was that? The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. They had the most difficult time in their lives. 3 years they were in prison and they ate leaves and they chewed on leather. Is there an example like that today? For which reason? For which reason? They could compromise if they wanted to. They had the choice, but fikr-e-akhira came into their hearts and minds. They give the sacrifice. It's a few days. Then in the akhira we will attain the paradise. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. What are we? We don't have fikr-e-akhira, fikr-e-dunya. I want it today. I want it today. Forget about salah. Forget about fajr. I prayed salah. It's okay. I'm fine. I don't need to pray. Oh, to go fajr, I have to go petrol pump. I have to start the car. I need to do this. I want money. I want wealth. I want a taxi. I want shops. I want stores. I want businesses. We have a lot of fikr for that. Tell me. Tell me, and what Allah Ta'ala has given forever and ever. In other words, fikr akhira, we have no concern for that. So that means we are extremely sick and we need to elevate our fikr akhira. And how will we do that? Allah Ta'ala has given us the tariqah that go to a friend of Allah, Shaykh, and learn the dhikr of Allah from him. Learn from him. Tell me. Fikr akhira, they invite you. Allah Ta'ala has given the prescription, solution. The whole dunya, Allah says, that I give you, look at this hadith, I'll tell you another. Pay attention now to this hadith. Who is saying this? Allah Rabbul Alameen. Allah says this. This is the meaning of the hadith. Allah says in the whole dunya, Allah says, I give to the whole world. I make people kings. I make people ministers. I make people win elections. Allah says, I. If someone loses, it's due to me, Allah says. Allah says, it's my kingdom. It's not your standard. Don't think it's, why is he given more? Why is he got less? Why is that person higher? Who are you to challenge my decisions? Allah says, I say, Qul, it happens. Subhanallah. Allah says that for me is nothing easy. Allah says, who can challenge me? I'm qadir and mutalak. No one can challenge me. If Allah says, I want that all people of Jahannam, I can send to paradise. All people of paradise, I can send to hell. If I want, I can forgive whoever I want. Whoever I want to punish, I'll punish. Allah says, it's up to me that I don't have to forgive a person who's just praying salah. Even without salah, I can send a person into paradise. Allah says, it's my choice. Who can challenge me? Who can question me? I'm Rabb, the King. I'm the Creator. Say Subhanallah. So Allah has praised Himself. Defined who he is. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, Allah says. Who can challenge and stand in front of me and question me? I made the dunya, I made the universe, I made the prophets, I selected the prophets, I selected them from amongst you, and I made my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that subhanallah, who can say, why were we with this Nabi and not with that Nabi? Say subhanallah, that Allah said, I made Yunus, Ibrahim, and Khalil, and Kaleem. Subhanallah. All the prophets I made, but from all the prophets, afzal, greatest, Allah is my choice. I made my mahbub, beloved, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Ummat as Musa's ummah I made, Isa's ummah I made, Yunus's ummah I made, and all ummahs I made. But Allah says, subhanallah, Muhammad's ummah I also made, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is who we are. If we were to be dragged into other ones, look how much we should value, how grateful are we for this fact. Because we don't have fikr akhira, then we are drowned in the dunya. Drowned in the dunya. So develop love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Generate love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The real love, the genuine love. So the noble companions, Sahaba Ikram, what did they have? They had fikr akhira so much, they used sacrifice. 3 years they're eating leaves, chewing on the leather. They used to suck on the seed of the date. And the hukum was that you have to go to this expedition and clash here with the people. They used to tie stones on their stomachs. There was poverty and hunger. Did anybody reject? Did anybody do a U-turn? Did anybody think in their heart for a second or make a complaint? Anyone thought negatively and complained? Subhanallah, no. That whatever order came from Rasulullah, they used to say, Alhamdulillah, the Sahaba. That Allah Ta'ala selected us here for His deen. Why? Because that fikr-e-akhira. Today, if we develop the fikr-e-akhira, that we say, is fajr salah anything? Yes. Look at the hadith I was sharing with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all rewards I give, I make people kings, I make people ministers. Is there anyone who can ask from me? Allah says, all of the dunya, the rewards I'm giving to human beings. Allah, come to me. Allah says, come to me. I'll tell you that don't think that kingdoms and the minister positions, or you're a leader or a leader or a king. Allah says, don't think that's a reward. Don't think that if you are poor and you've got money and shops and stores, that this is Allah's happy with you. And He's happy that I was poor, I was in poverty, I had no food to eat, and I've got so much money. I've got a wife and children.
etc. Don't consider this as a reward, Allah's announcing. Yes, Allah says, I'll define reward. The greatest reward is what? Whoever Allah says that I give that person the capability to do my zikr, this is the real reward. This is the reward, and this is the concern for the akhirah. Is there any human being who can reject this fact? Is there anyone? That Allah's zikr is not a value, is not a treasure. Allah announces. So if we don't have concern for the after, I say, oh, forget zikr, it's not important. I don't need to go there. Just pray salah and that's it, it's enough. Yes, this is what we say. Allah is explaining the reward that if you had fikr of akhirah, then never leave dhikr on the day of judgment. Allah says, this is the reward I will give to the dhakirin. Look at the reward I will give. Allah says, there will be thrones, seats. What seats and thrones? You cannot imagine those thrones. They will have jewels, diamonds, precious jewels attached to those thrones. There will be noor and light on the day of Qiyamah. The words of the hadith I'm sharing with you. People will be upset on the day of judgment, distressed and concerned, drowning in their sweat. Hisab, kitab, their reckoning, their deeds, the book of their deeds. They'll be panicking. Intense heat, the day of judgment, the severity. And on that day there'll be thrones, and there'll be a group of people, and their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. Can you reject this hadith, tell me? Can you reject this hadith? Their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. The whole of mankind will be in awe. People will be dying and struggling. They say, who are these people, Allah? Such beautiful, handsome faces. And they sat on thrones with ease. Announcement, Allah, who are these people? The walis, Allah, prophets, who are these people? Allah will say, did you not hear the hadith, the reward, what reward did I give them for which action in dunya? This is that same qawm that they heard my hadith and they accepted and believed and they started action in their life. And today on the day of judgment, I'm showing you their rank and status, that the whole world is in the darkness. And these are those people who heard the hadith, and after that, they made the dhikr of Allah come into their lives. Subhanallah. This is not some minor statement. You're coming to a dhikr majlis. This is not a favor you're doing for anyone. This is Allah's reward to the extreme. He will give you the reward. In the morning you're coming to dhikr, evening. Why? Because fikr-e-akhirah is coming to your life. Those who have fikr for the dunya, they run to the dunya in the morning. But you have fikr-e-akhirah, so you run immediately to the majlis of dhikrullah. Yes, so your legs will be shaking, your body is shaking. But yaar, I'm going to go to dhikr. Yaar, I don't want my dhikr to finish. You got a flu. You say, I don't care about flu or cold. I need to go dhikr. When you have developed this way of thinking in your life, then subhanallah, then he's come onto the right pillar. That everything that Allah Ta'ala has attached a reward to, then he runs to the action. So is this a minor thing to do dhikrullah, tell me? Dhikrullah. Remember, are you not to die tomorrow? Are we not going to die? Is Qiyamah not going to come? So are you not going to see the meaning of this hadith on the day of judgment? Don't listen to people. Listen to the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is he saying? People say, don't do this, bid'ah, innovation, this and that, it's not right. Forget those people, they're on their side. But Rasulullah said, the challenges will come, the hurdles will come, the tests will come. Where's that person who broke down the barriers and he started to practice the Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah? And he is the person of fikr-e-akhirah, and this is called fikr-e-akhirah. So my brothers, this is the reality of life. Develop and generate concern for the hereafter, for yourselves, and elevate your akhirah. How? By sitting with the good people, pious people, good company, and grab hold of the gatherings of dhikr. And just like the way I explained to dhikrullah, but this game is not for 1 or 2 days. No. This game, to concern this fikr, it takes the whole life. You have to spend time in the Khanqah, 80 years long. People sat and can develop this concern. Yes, not just, oh, Hazrat Sahab, I want to be bayah to you after a week, 2 weeks. I'm not getting no benefit. I'm not enjoying myself. I don't feel anything. I don't understand what he's doing. And you start looking at defects in the sheikh after that. That shaitan's attack on that student. What you should say, he is the path of the Quran hadith. I will die, but I will stay on this path. These old waswasa that are removing me from this path. With shaitan promised to Allah, that Allah, I'll come in front of him and behind him, and from the right and from the left, I will attack the human beings. I will not leave the human being. The shaitan promised. But Allah says, my mukhlaseen, you cannot attack them. Allah said to shaitan. Mukhlaseen, who are the sincere? Sincerely those people who remember Allah.
do dhikr of Allah. Why khalis? Why pure is being defined those who do dhikr? Do you know why? Do you know why? The hadith and the Quran explain that from most of all pure, which will clean Pak is what? Allah is the most purest. The name of Allah. Allah is so Pak, and the name of Allah is so pure. When a human being recites Allah's name, his whole body is purified. When he says Bismillah, he doesn't even end saying in the name of Allah, suddenly his whole body is full of nur, light. Hadith states that Allah Ta'ala, your name is pure, Allah purify me the same way. This is how clean and pure is Allah. So the dhikr of Allah, if a person does, and he does dhikr, qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, and his niyyah is correct, alhamdulillah, then what does he get? The nur ala nur, light beyond light, he becomes pure and clean and pak. So brothers, mukhlisin are those people, sincere, high status. Allah said they called me in the morning, in the evening, while they're walking, while they're sitting. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. Allah says always, every second, that's their occupation. Allah's name, Allah's name, Allah's dhikr, Allah's name, Allah's name. So Allah's given a reward. Biggest reward Allah's given for those who do dhikr. Why? Because fikr akhira came into their life, they accepted it. They could have said, oh, leave it, yaar, I'll go there 30 minutes after. They say, leave the dunya. I'll open the shop 30 minutes late, but let me do dhikr. Have we got this concern? If we don't, then consider that person is sick. He's sick. He's upset inside. He's got deficiencies. Spiritually, he is destroyed. Go do the dhikr of Allah. Learn from a wali Allah, from a sheikh. He'll say that the student says, can you increase my strength so I can do good deeds? So today we have to diagnose. I have to look how many actions we leave, for which Allah Ta'ala has set aside great rewards. Pray this nafal, this reward. Do this much reward. The Allah says that, for example, go from the top. Come to the fard actions. First, make your fard strong. The five salah, start praying in jamaat, congregation. Start from the top pillar. Not tahajjud and nafl, no. First start with the compulsory. Remember this, what I'm telling you, this formula. Look at yourself. You cannot correct yourself on your own. To correct yourself, to improve, you have to go to a guide. Hazrat, guide me, help me, give me some guidance. Otherwise, you'll start from tahajjud, you'll start fasting, nafal fast or nafal prayer or extra Quran recitation. But when you go to the wali Allah, he'll give you a schedule. When you do this, do this, do this, you will elevate and improve. Subhanallah. 15 years, after 15 years of company of my Sheikh Hazrat Sahib, said, now you can start praying nafal. Before that, I didn't have ijazah. Didn't have ijazah. Totally not. So brothers, that he knows, the teacher, that let me guide him, progress him, take him on the path. So basically the five times salah in the masjid, first get accustomed to that. So this is then when the current comes into the person. Yes, so the wali Allah sits the student with him, develops the love, exchanges the love. Deen is an amal. Amal, practice deen, not gab, shab, gossip, and you run off. Just like you're sat here now, don't you feel like practicing now, or you don't feel like practicing? Whoever feels like practicing, put your hand up, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. So that's the amal. That's the practice. So your heart starts feeling the passion. So then you can consider that the fikr akhira started coming to your heart. Yes, so the person's successful. You're sitting in dhikr is successful. The current comes in the heart. Yeah, this is correct. I need to do something about this. Otherwise I'm wasting my life. So this is called developing the concern. So the first action, the basic, when you go to the wali Allah, correct your salah. Just like he tells you, he'll give you tarteeb, he'll explain him yourself. Do this, do this, do this. Not this, oh, it's too hard, Shaykh. Whatever your Shaykh prescribes, he will never put you into hardship, the teacher. Understand this, that the Shaykh will never put you into hardship. Never. The Shaykh, the teacher, never will he put you into hardship. Difficulty. Very easily, he'll explain to you the journey. You won't even realize, and you'll become a wali Allah yourself. This is how the Shaykh takes you to the high maqam. So may Allah Ta'ala accept our gathering of today, and whatever we have discussed and spoken about and listened, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Ameen. Recite the ruju.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa وزوجتي وإلبتي كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهلنا وجدنا وخطأنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته. يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقت حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني. اللهم عافنا في سمعي. اللهم عافنا في بصري. لا إله إلا أنت. يا الله جن لوگوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا میرے مولا ان کے حق میں تمام دعائیں قبول فرما. جنہوں نے اپنے بیماروں کے لیے شفا کے لیے کہا اللہ ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. جنہوں نے اپنی پریشانی کے لیے کہا ہمیں ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد نصیب فرما. یا اللہ خاتون نے اپنی بچی کی بچہ ہے جو سخت بیمار ہے اس کی آنکھیں خراب ہیں اس کے لیے دعا کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا اس کی آنکھوں کو صحیح فرما. یا اللہ ایک خاتون نے اپنے علاج کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا اللہ تعالیٰ اس کے کل علاج کو بہتر فرما. اور جتنے بھی حضرات ہیں میں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا کے حق میں دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ جن کے لحاقین اس دنیا سے جا چکے ہیں میرے مولا ان کی مغفرت فرما. ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما. اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے آج جو بھی ہم نے دعائیں ذکر کی شکل میں میرے مولا مانگی تو اسے تمام دعاؤں کو قبول فرما اور ان تمام باتوں پہ ہمیں عمل کرنے کی توفیق سے فرما. فکر آخرت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ فکر آخرت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما. بار بار ہمیں مجالس میں بیٹھنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. ذکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ نمازوں کی توفیق نصیب فرما. تلاوت قرآن کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ تبلیغ و تعلیم کی ہمیں توفیق نصیب فرما. ہر نیک عمل کے چلنے میں ہمیں توفیق نصیب فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.